This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our partners, our members, our subscribers, our listeners, and any first-time listeners just tuning in. This is A History with God's Godcast Network. Christina and I are so excited. Recently, Christina and I did an impartation conference in Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, with our dear friend and partners, Pastors Nick and Lillian Okore from New Road Church. And leading up to that conference, as well as after it, I was speaking with a couple of people, both at the conference and in some weeks following, and I've noticed a lot of people really have no clue as to what impartation is all about. So, I'm going to talk today about impartation. I'm going to define impartation as transferring spiritual power. Okay? Is that all right? Impartation is transferring spiritual power. Impartation is not something that people like Billy Graham or Kenneth Copeland or Randy Clark, Chuck Pierce, any of these guys, with all due respect, I love all of them, but they did not invent impartation. Okay, this is something that took place very clearly all through the scriptures, both Old and New Testament. So there is a solid scriptural basis for this concept of impartation. Impartation typically happens one of two ways. The first way, which I believe is the most important way for us to get impartation, which is the transferring of spiritual power, takes place through encounters with God. You look all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, the heroes of the Old Testament and the New Testament were changed when they had an encounter with God. I think about Jacob. I think about how, you know, his name means liar, deceiver, trickster, supplanter. This guy has repeated encounters with God. He goes to sleep. He has a dream with a ladder going up to heaven and the angels going up and down. Do you think that would change you? He wakes up and says, whoa, God is in this place and I didn't know it. Another time, he has an encounter with God where he wrestles with the angel of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, that term, the angel of the Lord, most people believe refers to the pre-incarnate Christ. So he's wrestling with Jesus before he was Jesus. That makes sense? And he won't let go. All night long, he's hanging on to him, and he won't let go, and he's saying, you've got to bless me. You've got to bless me. Do you think that changed his life? There was an impartation, a transference of spiritual power. His character was changed from Jacob to Israel. He went from liar, deceiver, trickster, supplanter to Israel, which means prince with God. So encounters with God. You can go through David. Encounters with God changed his life. Abraham, encounters with God, changed his life. Saul of Tarsus, encounters with God, changed his life. All through Old and New Testament, the primary way that we see impartation taking place is when people had encounters with God. Moses sees a bush that's burning and isn't consumed. Steps up, has an encounter with God that changes his life, and the rest is history. The primary way an impartation takes place is when people have encounters with God. Now, the second way that people receive and have received impartation is when they have an encounter with someone who has had an encounter with God. And there's an impartation, a transference of spiritual power that takes place, often through the laying on of hands. So what does that mean? What does it do? The first thing is that impartation can release spiritual authority in the natural. Jesus already gave it to you. Yes, absolutely. Numbers 11 is the first place that we actually see this in the Old Testament. Moses, one man, leading 2 million Jews out of Egypt. They were slaves. He leads them out of Egypt, into the wilderness. 2 million Jews. Do you think Moses was a little overwhelmed? So what does God say? God says in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. It says, "The Lord says to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there." Here it is. "And I will take of the spirit that is on you, Moses, and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone." So now another place in the Bible tells us what happens when those, 68 out of those 70 men gathered together at the tent of the meeting. God takes the spirit that was on Moses and distributes it to these, not just the 68 that were there, but also those two knuckleheads, Eldad and Medad, who refused to obey the summons. They're still in the camp. The Spirit of God comes up on these elders and they begin to prophesy. There was a transfer of spiritual power that changed their lives. So now, Moses, he's coming close to the end of his life, and he realizes, this isn't good. I'm getting ready to die, and there needs to be somebody who's going to be the leader of these people. I gotta have a shepherd who'll replace me. So he's praying about this, and the Lord says in Numbers 27:18, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him." Deuteronomy 34:9 tells us that Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord commanded Moses. Do you see that? There was a release of spiritual authority that came on Joshua when Moses laid his hands on him. And then, of course, there's the classic story between Elijah and Elisha. Elijah, the great, powerful prophet of God, and he knows that his time is coming. He's getting ready to die, ready to go be with the Lord. And he says to Elisha, "What do you want?" And Elisha says to him, "I want a double portion of the Spirit, the anointing that's on you." And Elijah says, "Ooh, you ask a hard thing. But if you see me when I'm taken up, it'll be done for you." That's amazing to me. Here's the condition. If you see me when I'm taken up, you know, and then Elijah begins to put before Elisha situations that looks like Elijah is trying to take Elisha out of not being there, out of being there when he's taken up. He's like, he's trying to keep him from being there when he's taken up. He's like, "I'm going to go over here. Why don't you stay here?" "I'm not leaving you. I'm staying with you." And Elijah is like, "I'm getting ready to go over here. Why don't you stay here?" "I'm not leaving you. I'm going with you." So they come to the Jordan River. Elijah takes his mantle, whacks the water, and the waters part, and they walk across on dry ground. So there, you know, walking along, talking, and all of a sudden, the Bible says that horses and a chariot of fire separated them, and Elijah is taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Now, we read that, and we just think, oh yeah, well, that's cool. I want you to think about this. Horses and a chariot of fire separates them. Now, if you're walking along talking to somebody right there and horses and a chariot of fire separate you, I wonder if Elisha, like, would he hear hooves pounding behind him? You know, he turns and looks and jumps out of the way, not to get run over by horses and a chariot of fire. So then it says, Elijah is taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Has anyone listening ever been caught in a tornado? I haven't. But I remember that movie Twister. At the end, spoiler alert, at the end, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton, they're getting sucked up in the middle of one of those, like, huge tornadoes, but they're tied to, like, a pipe or something that's about 100 feet into the ground or something like that. Anyway, it's said that a tornado sounds like a freight train passing right in front of you. So we read this and we go, ooh, that's pretty cool. It sounds kind of scary to me, quite frankly. Okay, so Elijah's taken up in a whirlwind. His mantle floats back down. Elisha grabs the mantle, walks to the Jordan, and this is a great line. He smacks the water with the mantle, and he says, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And the answer comes, "Right here, buddy." Because the waters part, and he walks across on dry land. And the school of the prophets show their prophetic gift, and they say, "Oh, the spirit of Elijah is upon Elisha." Hey, these guys were sharp. And you know what? If you read through that whole story, you'll find that Elisha did exactly twice as many documented miracles as Elijah did. So quickly, let's hop over to the New Testament. I'm talking about impartation, releasing spiritual authority, right? Watch this. The New Testament church, they had this feeding program. The Greek widows were being neglected with the feeding program. They come and complain to the apostles, and the apostles say, "You choose out from among yourselves seven men who are filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and we'll turn this business over to them. It's not right for us to leave the word of God in prayer to wait on tables." This is amazing to me. The Greek widows are complaining. Who does the church choose? Now, if I had to think about it, I would have gotten three Jews and four Greeks. That way, both sides have some representation on this council that's going to oversee the feeding of the widows. But they don't do that. Seven Greek men chosen to oversee the feeding program in the church in Jerusalem. They choose the men, they bring them in front of the apostles, and what happens? The apostles laid hands on them. Why? Because they needed an impartation of spiritual power and authority to accomplish the task that was ahead of them. They needed to be able to discern which of those were truly being neglected and which of those were just whining. You follow me? They needed the power of God to do this job. So the apostles laid hands on them. Spiritual authority was transferred onto them. They did the job, and the scripture says that the word of God grew and multiplied as a result. Look in Acts 13, Saul and Barnabas, the prophets and the teachers in Antioch. They laid hands on them before sending them out as the first missionaries, Saul and Barnabas. And you know, impartation can release spiritual gifts. Paul says in Romans 1:11, "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong." And you gotta love Paul. He gives two examples of this. The first one is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. He says to Timothy, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you." Something happens when hands are laid. Something is imparted. There's a spiritual gift that was imparted to Timothy. So then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, here's a different slant on that same thing. Paul says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Fan into flame. Fan into flame the gift of God. Well, how do you do that? Can I give you a clue? Encounters with God. People can rub all the hair off your head laying hands on you. But if you never have an encounter with God for yourself, what they're imparting onto you, gradually, it'll just dim. And just like the name of this ministry, a history with God cannot be imparted by the laying on of hands. It's a wonderful message Bill Johnson did. If you go to our website, click the About Us page, and then click Bill Johnson's picture, you can watch him preach this message. It's a great message about developing your own history with the Lord. You've got to have your own relationship with the Lord. You've got to invest time in prayer. You've got to shut up. Really? Most of the time when I say prayer, what do you think of? Probably the same thing I used to think of. Me talking to God. The other half of prayer, because prayer is a dialogue, is you shutting up and letting God talk to you. You know, we're all so concerned with, "Oh, I got to intercede. Oh, I got to do my prayer of three." And that's all right. But the other side of that is that he wants to talk to us. And we receive more when we shut up, listen, be still, and know that he's God. He loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.